You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
The best part of holiday gifting? Giving them something they'll use all year. During December, deal drops at Lowe's. Save $40 on select Craftsman V20 tools. Now just $59. Plus, all rewards members get free standard shipping. Shop new December deal drops every week this month. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/10. While supplies last. Free shipping excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Subject to change. Visit Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details.
With us on the line now is Aaron Jacoski, who's an environmental journalist, filmmaker and presenter who spent the past decade travelling to some of the most inhospitable places on Earth to document mankind's complex relationship with wildlife. His book, Animosity, is an unsettling yet gripping look at the trades pushing wildlife to crisis point. Globally, animals are being traded, hunted, poached, consumed and exploited to the point we're in a midst of a sixth mass extinction event. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Hey, Hannah. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us. And what an interesting, fascinating 10 years you must have had looking at all this and traveling around the world and seeing this relationship between man and animal.
Interesting, yes. Bleak at times also. It's been an absolutely fascinating journey. I left behind corporate life in London a decade ago. And since then, as you kind of just touched upon, I have looked at all these different stories of human-animal conflict around the world, whether it's seal culling in Namibia, deforestation in Borneo, the tortoise mafia in Madagascar, shark finning in Mozambique. These are all issues that I have explored with my camera and are all chronicled in my new book.
Mm. And it's so important for people like you to be letting normal people, if you like, in the Western world know what is going on. Because when these things are happening so far away from people's lives, people's countries, people's bubbles, if you like, it's hard for some people to kind of care, because some people think, well, it doesn't really affect me, you know, it's not going on with me. So it's important to kind of put it in the forefront of their mind to show them that we should be caring.
Exactly. And I think that the current pandemic shows exactly why we should be caring, because wildlife can have an impact on everyone. And like you said, that the problem is that people already have enough problems in their lives and they're thinking, well, why should I really care about what's happening to the shark populations in Mozambique, or why should I care about deforestation? Whereas actually, and what I want to show in the book is that these issues all have a massive impact on all of us, morally, environmentally. It kind of affects everything that we do.
Mm. What are some of the things that you've seen then that you really didn't know about before you did your trip?
Oh, there's every trip that I do comes with major surprises along the way. I just did a recent job to the voodoo markets of West Africa. I was working on a film about pythons and the exotic pet trade, and we were going to a voodoo festival in Benin. And whilst we were there, we were told about these animal markets where they sell animal parts for voodoo. So we went to this market in the middle of been in absolute chaos, fires everywhere, people rolling around, fighting and pulling each other's hair out, more plastic pollution than I've seen anywhere. And then you get to the market, and at the top of this market, there's this... I don't know how to even explain it. It was like something out of Mad Max. So just animal parts everywhere. The heads of turtles, dogs, baboons, civets, snakes, chameleons. I mean, it was something like I've seen a lot doing this line of work, but this was just something different. And you're always kind of left in two minds as an environmental photojournalist, because on the one side, you're saying, oh my God, this is horrific. But the other part of you is thinking like how rich the imagery will be, and how your imagery can then go on and help to educate people about some of the threats that are facing these animals.
No, absolutely. And I guess one of the hardest things about all of this is when you're going to these different countries and different cultures, a lot of what they're doing, they have been doing for many years. You know, it's tradition for a lot of these people. So for foreigners to come in and tell them that it's wrong isn't easy.
Exactly. And that's what I talk about in my book as well, say that these issues are never, you know, a case of black and white, and there's many shades of grey in between. And for us to be going into these voodoo markets and saying, this is terrible, you shouldn't be doing this, this has to stop, you're not going to get very far. And you're actually going to get, you know, a lot of pushback from people. And nor should we be doing that. There's no reason. So I think what we need to do is just, and what the role of a photojournalist is, to simply record what you're seeing and then to show people through your imagery, through films, through articles, to simply tell people what's happening out there and then let them make their own mind up. But definitely it's important to tell both sides of the story and to not go in there and wag any fingers at anyone.
Yeah. And do you know what the situation is with the ivory trade, for example? Because I think we've seen that get better and happen less and less over the last 10, 20 years or so. Various countries have banned it, I believe, but it does still happen in some places, doesn't it?
Well, that's sometimes the worry, is when you ban these trays that they just go underground and then it pushes the prices up. So it's really quite difficult to know what to do. I think it takes a holistic approach to some of these issues, where you need to look at the legislation, you need to look at cultural practices, you need to look at the policing. So there's no one way of stopping, for example, the ivory trade. You actually have to look at all of the different factors that are involved. And these are hugely complex issues. It's very easy to feel a little disheartened with everything that's happening. But also through my work, I have seen that things are moving in the right direction as well. And that there are people who are dedicating their lives to trying to protect animals. And there is a will to try and work to protect wildlife too.
Yeah. There's some of the things that you talk about and have photographs of in the book that I feel hard to kind of talk about in the morning, and that could upset people. One of the things, I don't want to talk about it, but I just want to say the words just because it's so shocking. Cambodia's dog drowning dungeons. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, this was the one job that nearly kind of pushed me over the edge. I don't want to put everyone off their breakfast, but this was a job that I did last year, and it came at the end of 6 months of traveling the world and going to all of these different crazy places, and particularly looking at the wildlife tourism industry. And then I got a call. I was a broken man for one of my clients, saying, look, we've got a press trip to go and see some of these dog slaughterhouses in Cambodia, and would you like to come? And it was just such an interesting subject that I thought I had to do it. And then, the story was pretty bleak. It's 3 million dogs are eaten in Cambodia every year.
Oh, my goodness. And
everyone knows it's happening in China and Vietnam, but not a lot of people know that it's happening in Cambodia.
Right.
And what particularly concerns environmentalists is the killing methods. I won't talk too much about it because it's a very early morning. But yes, it's a particularly gruesome way of killing the dogs. And the major problem is that most of these dogs, 50% of all the dogs tested, had rabies. So actually, it's really a public health crisis because there are reports of people catching rabies from eating rabid meat. Because a lot of the times people say, like, well, why is eating a dog any worse than eating chicken or eating goat? And yes, the fact is that a lot of these animals are stolen. They're people's pets. And then they're sold into the dog meat trade and the public health crisis too.
Absolutely horrendous. I mean, there's an interesting, which is a whole different subject, obviously. I mean, one of the things that you're talking about is people, you know, eating animals being killed for meat. Obviously, there's two huge different sides on this. You know, people who are vegan, vegetarian, will think that there is no difference between killing dogs for meat and cows for meat. You know, killing an animal for meat is wrong. There are obviously lots of people who think that, but people who think no, there are certain animals who are there for consumption, to be eaten, and have done for millions of years. I mean, through your research and your trips, have you seen that there are kind of more humane ways of doing it, or does it seem like that really doesn't exist? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, to be honest, so let's take the dogs, for example, in Cambodia. These are animals that are often just rounded up from the streets, and then within 24 hours, they'll have been killed and sent to restaurants. Whereas actually, the animals that we see in the livestock industry or battery chickens, they've endured a lifetime of misery. So you could say, in some sense, that it's really not as bad as the meat that we're eating at the supermarket. For me, it's about the quality of life that the animal has had. But when you have 7 and a bit billion people to feed, we don't have enough space. We don't have enough resources with which to let the animals all roam and have a great life before we kill them. And we need to do this kind of factory farming. So then ultimately it's just up to people to make their own mind up and make their own decisions about where they stand from a moral standpoint or from an environmental standpoint, and whether they want to eat meat. I mean, I do still eat meat. I definitely don't go around telling people that it's wrong to. But I think it's about making better decisions as consumers. So we all know just how bad beef is for the environment. So just have it, you know, once a month or once every couple of months. We all know that our oceans are being overfished. So therefore, choose fish that's come from sustainable stocks. So it's just about making small changes to your everyday life that can then help wildlife.
Yeah. Nicely put. Thank you, Aaron. I was putting you on the spot there, but you explained it perfectly. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's extremely interesting and some amazing imagery in there as well. It is called Animosity and Human-Animal Conflict in the 21st Century. It's available on our website, tre.radio. Aaron Jakoski, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Hannah. Cheers.
A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese, oceans and sunsets. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors looking for a custodian who can help them go further. With all the wealth services, technology, and support an RIA firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabious. Find your match and learn why custody is just the beginning at schwabious.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.